Director for IDNs at ICANN, and this is the session for the first annual review of the IDN CCTLD fast track process. With me, I've had Patrick Jones, and Patrick is familiar to most of you. He's really in the ICANN security department, but has been helping out with IDNs. So, Patrick, do you want to just mention a little bit?
Patrick Jones, and I've had the good fortune of assisting Tina with the fast track process since it began, and happy to be here today. I'm also managing the chat room, so if anyone has questions either remotely or in the room, to raise them, and I'll make sure that they're addressed for today.
Right. So we're going to try to make this a very interactive session. So those of you in the room here locally, you're a little bit spread out, but get ready to get up to the microphones because we need your feedback and ongoing discussions. And of course, those online, get ready as well. I'm going to do just a quick status on where the fast track process is. And after that, we're going to have six different topics that also have been posted publicly as discussion topics for the review of the fast track process. After each one of them, we'll have open microphones, so the intention is that we'll discuss every single topic separately. And then, of course, at the end, there's an open microphone for any additional topics that you want to raise. Now, the intent with this review is, of course, to make sure that the fast track process is continuing to function well for all participants. And in that review, which will be an ongoing annual review, we have the opportunity to make adjustments or amendments to it. So please be creative and come up with ideas if you think there's something that needs to be different. So here in the first slide, just a brief status. The column on the side there shows you the list of the IDN CCTLDs that have the strings that have been approved. So as you can see, it's quite a bunch there. The launch, of course, was just over a year ago on the 16th of November last year. Since then, we got 35 requests in total. 22 countries and territories have passed the string evaluation. 15 strings are in the route. We have a total of 22 languages represented. And if you compare it to what was expected, and that expectation was based on the feedback we got from CCTLD managers and governments, there was an expectation of 50 strings covering 15 languages within the first 2 years. So it kind of looks like we're pretty well on target. If you do take a look at those interests that had been indicated, only a few countries have actually not submitted their request in the fast track process. So we're pretty well underway for what was expected. All right, so the first subject under review is transparency. And I'm just going to be like very brief on it. A request or information related to a request is not made publicly available until the string evaluation step has been successfully passed. And that's the part of the process. Of course, that's very beneficial if you think about it being confidential from the applicant's side of things. It also means that any kind of not valid requests are not being publicly announced, which otherwise could create confusion within the region or in the country. But of course, on the negative side, communication with end users and interested parties becomes more difficult because ICANN staff is not allowed to communicate what countries and territories have applied, what have they applied for, anything like that at all, until string evaluation has been passed. So it's an open question about whether applications or requests should be published at an earlier stage. And with that, I'm going to see if there's anybody that have any comments or opinions on that.
And this part is questions about either the transparency of the fast track process or the release of information during the evaluation of requests?
Yeah. Any type of transparency, if you have any. You can also come to the microphone if you think that everything is great. because then it's going to be easier for us to just check that off the list, and we'll go on to the next one. And it looks like we have nobody.
So while we're talking about these, we might want to remind everyone that the review of the fast track process has been posted for public comment, and when the deadline is for that.
Yeah, so the online public forum is open until the 17th of December. So if you change your mind and you still have comments, you can give those in written capacity. And of course, anything that's commented here in the session or online publicly will be taken into consideration as review. Okay. I will take it that we'll move on to the next review topic. So the next one is community support. And that goes to both demonstration of community support for the string and the IDN ccTLD manager. That either is decided early on or later in the process. And as you can see on this picture, there, of course, is different approaches in community support depending on where in the world you're located. We have one example up here, and there's many different ones. And because of that, and because we want to allow that diversity, this is something that's very open for each applicant to determine how they want to demonstrate their outreach and their community support. But it's important to note that there needs to be community support for the string and the string evaluation portion, of the process, and there needs to be community support for the IDN ccTLD manager when the process or the application enters into the delegation process. Those two things have been a little bit confusing for some applicants. They felt that if they demonstrated community support for the string, that that was sufficient, and they didn't need to demonstrate it later on. It is two completely separate processes. It is even different staff. It is different criteria. So we have beefed up the communication information going out to applicants a little bit. But I also want to mention here to those of you listening in that you do need to remember that you have to demonstrate both. That doesn't mean that you need to do two types of outreach. You can do an outreach for both the string and the IDN ccTLD manager at the same time. It just means you need to demonstrate it at two different points in your application process.
Can you mention some of the types of examples that have worked for community support so far?
Yeah. So we've seen a lot of variety. We've seen email surveys. We've seen local events having been held. Newspaper advertisements, technical forum discussions. There's just been everything imaginable. And that, of course, needs to continue to be that way so that it works for you in the local community. Did you, Patrick, you know as well as I do the different types, so.
No, I think those are, good examples of what's worked. Some of, I think, also showing the history of the discussion of the string in the local community, and those have been examples.
Yeah. So it doesn't mean that you have to select any of those. If you have any creative ideas for how you would like to do your own outreach, you can do this in obviously different ways. So when it comes to the documentation that goes into ICANN, we see minutes of meetings, we see online sites of votings, documentation of the surveys, and all kinds of documentation like that related to what kind of outreach that has been taking place. Now the question on this subject under review is, what level of community support is necessary? And some have communicated that they think that if there's a government support documentation involved, then it's not necessary to do any additional community outreach. So that's one of the questions we're opening up for discussion here. So again, I will invite you, and we have people coming to the microphone. That's great. No, it is not coming to the microphone. All right. Well, the other thing you see on this slide here is questions guiding applicants into how to provide us with documentation. And I'll say that the more information you bring up front, of course, the easier it's going to be. If we do have questions in the evaluation of community support documentation that has been provided, then we will, of course, communicate back and forth. So this is not a one-way street. We will email and talk to you guys on the phone and any other way if it's necessary. All right. If there's no comments on community support, and again, I mean, you can ask questions or say, yeah, this is understandable or not. It is the staff experience that there has been a lot of confusion on the subject, so we do want to try to make things clear for everybody.
Ah, we have a question in the... Oh, so IDN GTLD Fast Track in the comment forum. This is your chance to ask questions related to the Fast Track. If you can hear us online and... This is an opportunity to raise questions.
All right, we're going to go to the next subject. And this is meaningfulness. A string that's asked for in the IDN CCTLD Fast Track program has to be meaningful, and that means it needs to be a meaningful representation of the country or the territory name. In other words, applicants can't apply for .anything they would like to have. It needs to be the country name, territory name, or representation of it. There's basically two sides to this, very simple, in the Fast Track process. Either this requirement is auto-fulfilled if the country name or the short version of it is on the UNGGN list. If it is not on that list, the applicant is required to provide documentation from a linguistic expert. Now, as with the other subjects, we've gotten comments and feedback to, can we find other ways to make this an auto-fulfillment without needing a linguistic documentation being provided? I will say from the staff side, we didn't have a lot of good ideas for how else would you auto-fulfill this requirement. It is also our experience that those who have needed to get a linguistic documentation support have not had a lot of difficulty with that. And certainly it hasn't been something that has been declined from ICANN either. A couple of instances we have helped finding a linguistic expert, and that opportunity, of course, is open ongoing for all applicants. But if there's any of you that see a good way for auto-fulfilling this type of requirement other than being on the UNGGN list, then we'd love to hear it. And, of course, if that's something that's reasonable and makes sense and demonstrates that the string is indeed a meaningful representation of the country or territory name, then that would be an obvious addition to have in as a check in the box and auto fulfillment. And it looks like we have no comments. Patrick, do we have any comments online?
Not so much a question about this section, but if some do come in, then we can raise them here.
All right. This is going to be an easy session today, and it's probably going to be the least commented IDN session I've ever hosted. But that's great, and I just want to make sure that you understand that we will take it as you are basically saying that you think it's going great. So if you do have anything you want to change, I do want you to come up to the microphone. But I also know there is a couple of parties after the session, so maybe that's what everybody's waiting for to be released for. Okay, the next subject is IDN tables. And this is perhaps a little bit more technical oriented. We have these IDN tables that is basically lists of the characters that each IDN CCTLD manager will support and offer in domain names under their IDN TLD. The content of these tables have not been evaluated or approved pretty much in any way whatsoever. Staff does look at them and check that they fulfill requirements in the IDN guidelines and to see if there's any, direct security issues related to it. But other than that, We do not go through the content of the tables or approve them. And there's been a little bit of a misconception that the DNS stability panel is conducting that work, and I just want to be very clear that they do not. But because there's been some questions about this, and specifically questions related to, are these tables good enough? Does it create a secure enough environment for our users? We have raised it as a question, should there be any requirements or any additional reviews of these tables? Should any of that be taking place in the process? Some of the feedback that we gotten was that people thought we would evaluate the tables, and because of that, they would just take an existing table that had already passed through the system, and they would think that that had been approved. But it hadn't really. But because of that, applicants would essentially send in tables that did not entirely match what it was that their community needed. They would just send it in because they would hope that that would get them a check in the box and it wouldn't raise any questions. So that, of course, is not a good outcome of something that's not being reviewed or approved. So the question is, should there be more checks in place for reviewing these tables and approving them?
But at least today, all requesters submit a table with their IDN request.
Yeah.
And it's after delegation, all those tables are posted for public view in the IANA repository?
Yeah, so the tables are required to be posted in the IANA repository, and it's something that we're going to take up with all of those IDN ccTLD managers that have their strings live in the root and are launching. You do have to send those tables into the IANA repository for posting. That, of course, can raise questions, but we have...
you mean the IDN table is the IANA table, right? Yeah.
The IDN table in the IANA repository, so, yeah.
But from my point of view, does CN.dw submit the IDN table firstly to IANA? But, now I review the IDN table in IANA. Not all of the table is followed the rules defined by the RFC 3743. So the format of table is wrong. So I don't know who will check the table, who will evaluate the table.
Right. So that's the question I'm raising, and so it sounds like you have an opinion on it. Right now, nobody's vetting those tables.
Sure. If I can want to follow the table of registered in IANA, but now the tables registered in IANA is not perfect.
Yeah. Right. And some of the tables that are in the IANA repository are tables that are not relating to the IDN ccTLDs,
yeah.
Which could mean that we don't have any mechanism in place for saying, other than just providing straight out information, saying this is incorrect.
For the IDN table, all of the characters displayed in the first column of this table mean that the character scope for the IDN registration, and the second column and third column, it mean the preferred variant and the variant. So now the table in IANA, the different kind of format, you cannot decide what kind of scope for this language, and if they're variant or not. There are so many problems for that.
So let me ask you, do you think that ICANN should form like a panel or a group who should review these tables for
sure.
content and...
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I can want to follow the table in IANA, so I think that maybe some kind of evaluation panel should be formed to evaluate and improve the IANA table.
Right.
Yeah.
One of the things that's difficult with that, of course, is I think it's going to require a lot of linguistic expertise. There are some tables that will be different, even though they match the same language or script, just because of the nature of the TLD and the community they...
Sure. It may be depend on the registry, you know. For the Japanese table for .biz is totally different with the table for .gp. So it looks like very strange. It's Japanese domain name. But I don't know what kind of table you will follow for maybe for the Japanese Tableau domain. It should be the .biz Japanese table or .gp Japanese table.
Yeah, so I think between the gTLDs and the ccTLDs, there will be an obvious difference. Difference being the gTLDs often support more languages and scripts or multiple ones, whereas the ccTLDs, you know, not all, but tend to be more localized. And so because of that, there'll be differences between the tables, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't set requirements up. So, Xiaodong, if you have any good ideas for how, you know, those types of requirements should be set and evaluated, that would be helpful.
I have no exact suggestion to ICANN, but I think that the two suggestions maybe should be considered for ICANN. First one, the evaluation panel should be formed for ICANN to evaluate the table. And the second one, maybe ICANN can conduct some specific community. Maybe for Chinese, the CDNC for Chinese domain name. Maybe for Japanese, maybe I don't know if there's some kind of Japanese language community. So
yeah.
Maybe it depends on what kind of language. Maybe I can consult the different kind of community to do that.
Yeah, I think that's right, and I think that's a really good point. For example, we have the Arabic script working group that are working on table for Arabic that can be used.
Sure, yeah. Okay,
so same thing.
Yeah,
and this is an area where input would be helpful because the tables is an area where there might be security issues if you know, the tables are different.
Sure, if the registry use the wrong table, maybe it will cause the very terrible issues for security. For example, the phishing side, the phishing issues. Yeah, if you use the wrong table, the phishing problem is very terrible. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Xiaodong. Ram?
Thank you, Ram Mohan. Two comments. One, I think it's time for ICANN to stop trying to publish this IANA repository of IDN tables. You're doing yourself, I think, some unnecessary damage, but more importantly, it doesn't scale. As you yourselves have pointed out, as you have more applicants, both from the gTLD IDN side as well as the ccTLD IDN side, coming through, submitting different language tables that purport to be for the same language but are completely different or somewhat different, you really are creating this creates a significant mess. And it's a mess that once it gets tangled is very difficult to disentangle. So one very direct suggestion is please stop this. It was intended originally to serve a particular need, but you're probably better off redirecting users to the registries themselves. I'm not saying stop the applicants from submitting the tables and, you know, going through that vetting process, but if you ICANN or if we ICANN publish that in a repository, then we take on other responsibilities, including keeping it up to date, so on and so forth. And it's not really compliance, but you have tremendous confusion that starts from it. So clear recommendation, stop publishing an IANA repository of IDN tables. I don't think it serves its purpose anymore. The second suggestion is you're saying here that there is going to be some limited staff review and feedback in case of security issues. I'd caution you on taking that task up, because I can imagine several scenarios where a TLD operator or an applicant submits a table, since there is really no review, submits a table that crosses multiple scripts or does a lot of things that are not obvious. And if we say there's going to be some limited security review, it may not be sufficient. So try to be a little bit more black and white on this, even though it'll make applicants unhappy, it'll make some other folks unhappy. But this is one of those things where doing a limited review might cause unlimited problems. Thank you.
Yeah, so just to give you a little bit of feedback, Ram, and I agree with what you say, but you know, it's also a difficult balance. First of all, of course, the intent with the IANA repository was to share these tables so that a table for a certain language used by one TLD operator could be used by others who want to support the same language. And obviously, that is not what we have accomplished. But the intent was to create some sort of unity.
Right. It was a good intent.
Yeah. And what resulted out of it was confusion. So we didn't really reach the goal that we had set in mind. The thing about the limited security review that we're doing, it does relate to the IDN guidelines, and that's the only, and slightly to the IDNA protocol, but that's the only check that ICANN staff is doing at this point in time. I do think that that's important, but I agree with you. We can't go and say, because it follows the IDN guidelines and because it follows the IDNA protocol, we are sure there's no security issues. That's not a result out of that, but we do need to do the checks against those two technical standards.
So let me briefly clarify. I completely endorse what you're doing in terms of checking against the guidelines. I was merely commenting upon security review as compared to IDN tables. I don't think that conflation is good.
So I think my slide is maybe a little bit easier to misunderstand, but what I said was it's against the IDN guidelines and the protocol. So, yeah. Okay, great.
So before Harold, there's a comment from Jaap Akkerhuis in the chat. It just says, if ICANN's going to evaluate tables, it's directly getting involved into registry naming policy, and it's something that we should be aware of.
Yeah, and that has always been one of the reasons why we're not evaluating tables. So,
Harald. Harald Alvestrom. A couple of comments. One is that you need to evaluate tables for correctness. We have had cases where, due to the no-review policy, we have published tables with rules about characters that were not allowed in IDNs. That's just wrong. And so... striking the word security in that review thing is probably a good thing, because we're reviewing them for not being total nonsense, and I think that's a good thing. Two other things we might consider is, A, whether we could actually publish or cause to be found a competent linguistic commentary on tables. I'm not sure any competent linguist would want to comment on the tables, but if such commentary were to arise, it might be good to store it somewhere. And the other thing is whether it would be reasonable to give some brownie points or a feeling of goodness, I don't know if we have anything else, to people who choose to reuse an existing table instead of creating their own. I don't think we should get very strict about tables. I know all the reasons why we ended up here, or a good number of the reasons why we ended up where we are. But I do think that the current chaos of tables is less than optimal, and we should see if we could find some way to incentivize people to do a little better.
Okay, that's great. So, Harold, one feedback to you is when you talk about, you know, checking whether the tables are correct or not, do you mean, according to the IDNA protocol, that a character that's in the table is actually valid?
Yes.
Okay.
According to the specification of the table, that the syntax of the table is actually parsable, and that all strings generated by application of the table rules are valid IDN strings. For instance, if you have a table rule that has that purports to be for Arabic, which allows a domain name to start with a digit, that's probably not what you can express with an IDN table, but it's the kind of situation where you want to look carefully at it.
And I think it's those kind of situations that becomes difficult because, you know, one thing is to look at a certain character and say, is this valid according to the protocol? But there are those that, you know, have registration policies associated with it. And I think I kind of know where what it is that you're saying that we should do. But I'm just saying I would also caution for going too far down that road because we're getting into business decisions for these ccTLD managers.
I mean, a domain name registry that, by part of its application, flagrantly indicates that it's going to not obey the IDNA protocol needs to be slapped down. But I don't think we can do much more than that.
All right. Thanks, Harold. I wonder if there's any opinion about whether those kinds of checks should be done by ICANN staff or if we should set up, like, panels or external experts to do this kind of work, or if you're comfortable with ICANN staff doing it. But I leave that as a question that people may want to think about and we can take up in the public forum.
So I know this is for the fast-track process, but, you know, setting up a panel is something that isn't easy to do, and is it something that could be also applied to IDN strings that might come up in the new GTLD process?
Yeah. I mean, this whole notion about IDN tables, of course, goes across all of the processes. There's not special rules around IDN tables for fast track versus GTLD. It's exactly the same. So, yeah.
Yeah, so in the chat, Mohammed Al-Bashir has a comment and a recommendation that an example of this is Arabic language tables uploaded by other registries, which Arabic is not their language. And that a recommendation is that this could be done by a linguistic panel.
Right. All right, we have two more topics before it's open for any topics you're interested in. So the next one is dispute, and the one after that is confusingly similar. So we'll go to the disputes. And I hope you like the disputes that are on the screen. But, yeah, we'll see. So at this point in time, we have not received any controversial strings in the fast-track process in the sense that it hasn't been disputes between territories and countries, and it also wasn't expected. And that's one of the reasons why there was no dispute mechanism built into the process. So dispute processes do not exist specifically to the fast-track process. If there are disputes within a country or territory between what string they want or who should operate it and so forth, that is something that's decided locally. And this far, that seems to be working really well. There is one question that was raised in relation to disputes, and that has to do with what if we, for example, get government support in the application, and then later on or during the same time period, another part of the same government states something that could be considered as they are not supporting it. You know, what do we do with those kinds of disputes in the system? And as I said, we don't have any dispute mechanisms in place, and so we haven't seen a lot of disputes, but some of this has come up, and so it's a question of whether there should be any kind of dispute handling mechanism in the process or not.
And questions, maybe just to clarify for the group that this is an aspect that people don't see because strings are only published once they've gone through the string evaluation step.
Right, but so in those few cases where there has been disputes, it's been a local, at least a local experience. So, and I know there has been some requests for dispute mechanisms being available. It does relate a little bit to the next topic, so I think I'm just going to go on to the next one. And that's confusingly similarity. And, of course, that can also be related to disputes. So it has to do with situations where requested strings are confusingly similar to existing strings or other requested strings. And those kind of applications are, of course, declined in the fast-track process. There is a rule that says that you cannot get a string that is confusingly similar to something else. That is, the confusingly similarity is established by the DNS stability panel, and they have some working guidelines on how to do a very careful and limited approach in the fast-track process. That was part of the implementation plan. We got some feedback about the need for objections or reevaluations in cases where the applicant or the community that the applicant was going to serve do not agree with the assessment made by the DNS stability panel, and where there's a basically just a disagreement in their decision. This is not like a big volume, but of course, if there's disagreement, that's like a really important thing for the community in question. So the question we're raising here is, is there a need for objection in the process? Does not exist at the moment? Is there a need for any reevaluation which does not exist at the moment? The reason it doesn't exist is because the fast-track process was built to be very limited. So we don't have that, but it has been asked for, so it's part of this review. Yep. And, of course, confusingly similarity, if you have any comments or questions about that in general, feel free.
So we do have a question in the chat, and it's asking if there is an update regarding the situation on either Ukraine or Bulgaria, and also once it is the proper time, the person would like to ask the question. So I'm asking it on your behalf, and they recognize that. So.
Okay, so we've had some discussions about specific countries and territories. Discussions and questions about it in different kind of email lists and online announcements and so forth. And it really relates back to the transparency and confidentiality nature of the process. ICANN staff cannot discuss individual requests or applications with anyone else but the applicant. So to the person who's asking online about Ukraine or Bulgaria, the answer is simply that we can't provide any information specific to any countries or territories. The way that staff usually handles that is that we suggest people who have those types of inquiries to either go back to the existing CCTLD manager in the country or the government in that country or territory, because chances are that if there is a request that has been submitted to ICANN in the fast-track process, either those two entities will be aware of it and will be able to facilitate that communication. But we can't talk about it, and that has to do with the nature of things being confidential and, not transparent until the string evaluation has been completed.
And there is a another comment in the chat from Ilya Baz-Ilankov that they wish to note for the record that the situation with Bulgaria is pretty much well described in the public comment forum, and that is true. We are getting quite a bit of questions and comments in the comment forum about particular countries.
Right. So there's some public forum comments that states that they wish that there should be an objection or reevaluation process available. So is there anybody that has any comments or would like to discuss that subject? Yes, Hong Su.
Okay, I'm not going to talk about any specific case. but I hope the staff, Tina, could help us to understand the procedure more clearly. For this spring evaluation, I can authorize the body to complete the job. And obviously, they're doing very good. But some disputes happened on this confusing similarity issues. But this body, authorized by ICANN, made the decision on behalf of ICANN, and their decision is actually the decision of ICANN. But issue here is that their decision is a technical decision. It's a decision about the technology issue, and therefore it is not subject to the pre-existing ICANN reconsideration or independent review process. That's very interesting scenario. We can see that such a technical decision could have very serious policy implication. And now it is being raised to the level of accountability. ICANN is highlighting its mission to be accountable to the internet user all over the world. And now, because of these technical design and review process, somebody say outsourced by ICANN, now the some of the users or community are not availed to the remedy process. And people raise this, what is the solution to this?
Okay, so let me see if I'm going to at least give you some feedback on your question. First of all, the DNS stability panel have two roles. One is more technical to make sure that the string does not have any technical issues related to it. The other one is more linguistic in nature because it has to do with whether the string is confusingly similar to existing strings. So it's not just technical. And Hangsu, the other thing I want to mention to you is when this process, the fast-track process, was under development, there was some discussions about should we have a specific linguist panel or should we use a tool for a comparison between strings, such as the tool that's being built for the GTLD program. And as I remember it, the feedback we got from the community was no, because this will take longer time and it's going to make the process more expensive, and we're not interested in that. Of course, and I'm going to quote that, of course, nobody is going to apply for something that would be confusingly similar to something that already exists, end quote. It is a difficult subject. I don't think that it's a particularly easy role to take on to make that determination. I do think that the fast-track process, the way it was built correctly in the sense that it was a limited approach with those where there clearly was no issues with, because it was the first time that we were inserting IDN TLDs in the root zone. That doesn't mean that it shouldn't be different in ongoing processes. It doesn't mean that it shouldn't be different, that it should not be different in the fast track process either. But I'm saying, at least for this initial round of it, I think we have been better off having a very careful and limited approach.
And I don't think there's anything in the fast track process that prevents the use of the reconsideration process or the independent review process that's already in existence.
Right. Of course, that's available for anybody.
Yeah, so the particular requester could have used a reconsideration step and has opted not to.
And everybody at ICANN is able to make complaints to the ombudsman or to use the reconsideration process. Of course, that's available. All right. If there is nothing else on this, then I'm going to open for other topics. And it's basically if there is anything about the fast-track process that you have any questions, comments, again, feel free to say that you love the process if that's what you do, because that, of course, is valuable as well. I know from the ICANN staff side, we feel that it's going really well. So, but we also do want to make sure that we serve you in the best way possible. So if you have any comments on it.
Yeah, and it's been a little over a year, and And I think this shows that processes can work really well. And it's been exciting to be a part of it.
And there's no...
Yeah. We already...
So there's a question online that says, quote, with more delays looming for gTLDs and IDN ccTLDs getting a first mover's advantage on languages, will ICANN be introducing a fast-track process for non-controversial IDN gTLDs? End quote. And that's a question that comes up all the time. It's really not something that I can say much about. I know it's been discussed before. I know it was decided that it wasn't possible before. I don't necessarily know if there is more delays looming for new gTLDs. It's a question to the ICANN gTLD team. I know previously they have said they don't see any faster way forward than what they're doing already. But again, that's a question for them. So, if there's no more questions... then we'll just take a quick look at the next steps for what's going to happen. So as we said, the public comment forum is going to run through the 17th of December. The link is on the slides. The slides will be online if they're not already. Staff is going to summarize all of the proposals, proposed changes and discussions that we've had. We're going to make that analysis publicly available. We're also going to make it an input to the policy development process that's going on in the CCNSO right now for a longer-term use of IDN ccTLDs. And if there is any resulting changes, then that's going to be provided for the ICANN board for their consideration. It doesn't need to have a board approval if there's going to be any changes to the fast-track process that it stands today. And then, of course, we'll have ongoing annual reviews. So this is just the first annual review, and we'll continue having those annually. We can also have them more regularly if that's necessary. And those are going to continue until the CCNSO has completed their policy development process on IDN ccTLDs and until that policy has been implemented. So the fast-track process is going to be open and available until something else is going to replace it.
And for any of the ccTLD managers who have already gone through the fast-track process, if you have observations that would be useful to share, feel free to send those in as well.
Right. Yeah. All right. I think we're going to end the session. And happy cocktail hour to everybody in Cartagena. Thanks for the limited feedback. We are going to take that as a positive statement. But again, write online. Or grab either Patrick or me throughout the week if you have any additional questions or concerns. Thanks.